Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
The Burt Show.
Hi, Lexi here is confused. We have said this before. There's like nothing worse than getting ghosted. It's just so easy just to send a text and go, hey, somehow, some way, not feeling it, but do it in a nice way. Everybody knows. At least you know, right? So Lexi here has a great first date, and this dude never hits her back. She has no idea why.
Oh, she has a theory.
She does have a theory?
She has a theory as to why, but she wants to explain it to him.
So we reached out to the guy to find out exactly why, and we'll give her some answers here in a second. Hey, Lexi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, Lexi, what happened? You got ghosted. What happened?
Well, I need your help figuring out why this guy ghosted me. We went on a first date, and it was amazing. Great conversation, lots of laughs, definite chemistry. He even said he'd reach out for a second date, but poof, gone. No text, no call, no nothing, and it's been over a week. So I thought at first maybe he got busy, lost interest, but then I had a horrifying realization. What if he Googled me and found my mugshot?
Oh. I could do it.
Okay.
That would do it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Mo and Bert, after a first date, I know women do all the Googling prior to the first date. So we basically have your whole manifesto of your life and who you are and have scoped you out on social media. After a first date, would that be something you would do?
Look for research.
Not look for a mugshot, but just do
that kind of research.
Yeah.
After a first date, probably not.
I think I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I would. And even the mugshot wouldn't be a deal breaker, considering how hot she is. I mean, we can work around a lot of things for a month.
What's the number she got to be? Like at least a 9? Or would you go down to a 7? Yeah. 7 with mugshot.
Let's see how desperate am I am that month. It could be a 3.
You got to be at least an 8 for the month. Yeah. Yeah, I need an 8.
He's got higher standards than I am, for sure.
Well, Lexi, clarify, like, what was the mugshot for?
Okay. Well, before you judge, I just want to mention that it was a college prank that went wrong. Oh. So, yeah. Well, okay. So, a few friends and I may have tried to like borrow one of those life-size cardboard cutouts of Ryan Gosling from a movie theater lobby, because obviously we needed him at our dorm party. So security did not find it as funny as we did. And long story short, I spent a few hours in a holding cell. In a holding cell. But there weren't any charges that stuck. Just the evidence lives on in a very weird, unflattering booking photo.
So if I'm dating you and it's a first date and I see a mugshot like that and I do the research on it and find out that's the reason why, I'm more turned on than anything else. I think it's hilarious.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's not going to say in the research that stole a Ryan Gosling cardboard cutout. It's going to say like
theft. What you're arrested for?
It'll say theft, but it's not going to give the details.
I think you'd have to do the research to find out exactly why. And there are very few guys that would want to dig that deep.
I think they should have let you take the Ryan Gosling cardboard cutout and put it in the mugshot with you. I feel like if the cops had any kind of sense of humor,
Fantastic.
All right. So you think he found this mugshot and that's why you didn't get a call back?
I'm thinking, yeah, because what if he thinks I'm some kind of criminal mastermind? Or, you know, maybe there's another reason for the ghosting, but I just want answers. So if it's the mugshot, I would just love the chance to explain to him what happened. Hopefully he hears the story. He might be up for another date.
Okay, so we've already done the homework for you, and we have reached out to the guy to find out exactly why there was no second date, and he responded back. So we got answers for you, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, hang out for a couple of minutes, and we'll give you the exact reason why he's saying, no, sir. Second date update next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You're really going to let one mugshot, one misdemeanor keep you from what could be the woman of your dreams? Really?
A picture's worth 1,000 words.
Right.
Or in this case, maybe 1,000 days in jail.
It's just a misdemeanor. Lexi goes out with this dude, and they have a great time. Chemistry's right. No lulls in the conversation. She's feeling him. He's like, okay, can't wait to go out with you again. And then she never hears from him again. And she was telling us a couple of minutes ago, she has a feeling he did a deep dive, and she has a misdemeanor in her past. She has a mugshot online.
Oh, no. Kidnapping Ryan Gosling? That's a full-fledged felony, friend.
Well, we should probably explain that because it's not the real Ryan Gosling.
It was a cardboard cutout at a movie theater when she was in college because they wanted him from her dorm room. Security was a little perturbed, and they took it they took it all the way to the jail.
So Lexi's hunch is that's the reason why he hasn't hit her back, and she wanted us to reach out to him to see if that's the truth. All right, Lexi, you ready for some results here for Second Date Update?
I am.
Do your thing, Kristen.
So reached out to David about the date, and this is what I wrote. Hey, this is Kristen from The Burt Show. We recently heard from Lexi, who told us that she had an amazing first date with you. Great conversation, lots of laughs, even a promise of a second date. But then, radio silence.
Good joke.
Thanks. She hasn't heard from you since, and she's confused as to why when you said you'd reach out for a second date. She has a theory, though. Did you Google her and find the mugshot?
Oh, no.
If so, she wants you to know that it's not as bad as it looks. Turns out it was from a college prank where she and her friends borrowed a Ryan Gosling cardboard cutout from a movie theater. Security wasn't as amused as they were, and while no charges stuck, the internet never forgets.
Okay, can I just mention something here?
Yeah.
I think you made a mistake.
Why?
In your response to him.
Yeah.
In that he might not have done that at all, and now you are telling him that this is in her past.
But it's not a big deal.
Well, you don't know if he's going to interpret it as a big deal or not.
The reason why I said it is because Lexi said if he did see the mugshot, she wanted to explain and tell him what had happened.
Right.
Because it's not a big deal.
But maybe he didn't, and you just exposed it.
Could have been something else. That's worse.
Okay, it's like you guys have a crystal ball, but let me get to it. Okay, security wasn't as amused as they were, and while no charges stuck, the internet never forgets. So we have to ask, was that what made you ghost her, or was there something else? No pressure, no judgment. We're just curious. If you're up for it, we'd love to hear your side of the story. Let us know. And it didn't take long for David to respond, Lexi. So we do have a definitive answer as to why he chose not to ask you out on a second date, okay?
Okay.
He responded, wow, .. I had no idea about a mugshot.
There it is.
I saw that coming.
But you can bet I'm Googling it now.
Oh, no.
But then he goes on to explain. Lexi and I did have a great time. She's funny, smart, and easy to talk to. The second date conversation? Yeah, that happened towards the end of dinner. But it also happened right before she pulled out a Ziploc bag and started scraping everything off the table into it.
What?
Butter packets, bread rolls, sugar packets. Oh. If it wasn't nailed down, it went into the bag. I was half expecting her to start pouring the salt shaker in there too. Look, I'm all for not wasting food, but I just sat there, stunned, watching her treat the restaurant like it was her personal grocery store. I suddenly had this vision of us going out again and me watching her fill her purse with napkins and ketchup packets like some kind of condiment bandit. And that's when I knew I just couldn't do it. So yeah, that's the real reason. But hey, tell her no hard feelings, and I'm off to find this mugshot.
And now she's going to go to the mugshot and see it say theft.
Stealing ketchup packets. Right. The only thing she didn't steal was his heart.
All right, so Lexi, is that an accurate description of the end of your all's first date?
I think he exaggerated a little bit. I mean, there may have been a bag and some condiments involved, but Listen, these are hard times. So if he's not understanding that we just need a little catch up at home sometimes, then I'm fine with that.
Talk your talk.
Okay. Mo, really quick, Mo and Bert.
Yeah, Mo and Bert.
Yep. You're on a first date.
Yes.
You're sitting there.
Yes.
You had a great time.
Yes.
Chemistry was off the charts.
Yes.
You were like, yeah, we should definitely do this again. And then right before you get up from your booth, you were same side boothing it, by the way, she reaches over you and starts taking all the sugar packets, all the remaining butter, like any kind of condiment, whatever is there on the table, pulls out a Ziploc bag and puts it in there and puts it in her purse without saying a word. You going on a second date?
Listen, if she fine enough, she can put me in the plastic bag. Too,
right? That's what I was saying.
Scoop me in, baby. It's all good.
We can share handcuffs.
There's a bigger offense than stealing that based on your scenario. If it's the first date and she wants to sit right next to me, you said we're same side.
Same side boosting it.
On a first date?
Yep.
No.
That's a bigger offense.
On a first date is wild.
That's a little too close.
Absolutely not. All right, Lexi. Well, at least you know, and I do think that Mo raises a really, really good point, though. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if I'm on a first date with the girl that I'm seeing now, Amanda, and everything is so great, I mean, she's fitting me perfect. At the end of the date, if she does that, I think it's a fun quirk. Like, it doesn't turn me off because everything else was just so good. So I'm curious, like, if he really was buying into it like that.
Abby, let's turn the tables.
Mm-hmm. Amanda does it?
Uh-huh.
Bye!
The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So rapper Nelly had a hot take on a podcast this week that got a lot of people to talking, and he was doing Drink Champs, a podcast with another rapper named Noriega, and they were asking him about like his life with dating Ashanti and his kids and how he handles his kids being a little older now. And he started to speak about how he has a bit of a different approach when it comes to how he allows his daughters to come home in a time of crisis and how he allows his sons to come home in a time of crisis. Mm. And he's standing on business and the fact that he feels like as a father, it should be a bit different.
I told my daughter, yeah, baby, don't worry about it. You can always come home. You always got a room. My son, he can come home, but he get the couch. Eventually, he got to get the fuck out. He got to. He a man. He got to go. You can always come home, and sometimes it may not work out. I ain't knocking that because you got to get back up on your feet. You know what I'm saying? But just know this is temporary.
I thought this was interesting because I kind of feel like it's always been a thing, but I don't know if anybody's ever actually come out and said it. And I know in my house growing up, it was very much so like this. Like my dad, he may not have said the exact words, but he made it pretty clear to me that like once you go, that's it. There's no coming back. You got to figure it out. And with my sisters, it was always a lot different. It was always a lot more lenient, which is why I believe that I left the house 10 years before either of them did. Like I was gone at 17 because I'm happy he did it. Like I don't want to sound like I'm bitter about it because I'm not. Uh-huh. I feel like it actually helped me in the long run. And sometime I wonder if maybe that wasn't the advantage to my sisters that he thought it was, because I don't know if they have the same grit that I have because they were always allowed to come back home and to be coddled in a way that I wasn't.
Well, I mean, let's just call out the obvious. It's totally unfair. Like just stating the obvious, it's totally unfair. And I feel like if mom is also involved, because it's not just the dad's decision. If you have like a two parent home, right? So you got mom and dad weighing in, and this mom over here is going to be like, no, whatever we're offering our daughters, we're also going to be offering our son. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like you can still get grit. And you can still be a somewhat safety net for your child. Like, you don't want to enable them. You don't want them to be, you know, non-capable adults. But at the same time, you want to provide them a little bit of a safety net. And so whatever you're going to offer to your daughters, I feel like that should be extended to your sons as well.
It's totally unfair. But I also feel like the subconscious is that, like, life isn't totally fair in terms of safety for men versus women.
That is true.
Now, I'm coming from a household where, like, my brother was allowed to stay at home for a little bit. I was allowed to stay at home for a little bit. We were both expected to get out, but my parents weren't expecting us to, like, you know, live on the streets or whatever. But I think the subconscious decision, especially with fathers, is that life is more dangerous for women out in the world. Women are more vulnerable to crimes, and, you know, I don't need to get into any of that, but you know what I'm trying to say. Whereas I feel like the subconscious thing is they see their sons and they're like, okay, well, you've just got to get out into the world and figure it out. Whereas I see my daughter as something that might need more protection than my son.
I mean, the stats are the stats when you look at crime rates versus men versus women, for sure. And I have, like, a prime example of that. Like, I remember when I was living in Cincinnati on my own, the relationship had imploded that I moved there for. I was still working there, miserable, moved to a very, very sketch part of town in order to, you know, afford rent in, like, this duplex area. I had a drug dealer on one floor. There was all, actually, I felt very safe because there were always cops outside at the UDF across the street. But I remember, like, my dad coming, and, like, dad had visited at one point, and he's like, I worried about you every single day you were there, and you have no idea how relieved I was when you finally moved out of there. And I don't think that would have been the same. He would have had the same conversation with my brother.
Mm-hmm. Here is listener Amanda. Good morning. You are part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, I think this really involves, like, you have to take into account who your kids are. And my kids are, I have a freshman in high school and a senior in high school. My senior in high school, he's not allowed to come back after he leaves, except for very short periods of time. My freshman, if he comes back, he will help his dad in the yard. He will pay rent. He will do the dishes. Like, he's that kid. He's always welcome to come back.
Wow. If you can contribute, you can stay. Okay. I like that.
That's honest.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
The Burt Show.
I am so incredibly proud of my kids this week, to a point where it almost made me start to cry publicly the other day. I had to remove myself and form a little bit of lie to get away from people so I could potentially cry by myself.
Why didn't you just let the tears flow, baby?
I mean, you're around a whole... in this particular case, a problem... I'm just not comfortable with it. Right. Let me explain what happened. Okay. And I think I've sort of touched on it this week, but now I've got two examples of where my kids have actually been listening to me all these years, and I was so proud based on their results, right? I told you that Hollis, for the last couple of years, my son that's in high school, loves soccer, has been playing since he's 6 years old. And for whatever reason, a couple of years ago, something tweaked in his head where he was taking it so seriously and he was putting so much pressure on himself that he wasn't performing as well as he thought that he could. And the fun wasn't there anymore and he just wasn't doing great. And he had sort of a pep talk with himself between his junior and senior year where he said, you know what? I'm looking at a whole bunch of my friends get scouted right now. Some of these guys are getting scholarships. One of the guys on his team got a full ride to Brown. That's how good that. Yeah, right? And he's like, you know what? I got to be honest with myself here. I don't think I'm that guy. I don't think that I'm going to be getting a scholarship anywhere. This very well could be my last season playing soccer. So you know what I'm going to do, Dad, is I'm just going to let it rip. I'm just going to have fun. I'm taking the pressure off. I'm not going to worry about scoring goals, which is interesting because his coach, who I think is just fantastic, the best, this guy named Sam, put him at striker, which is the guy that's supposed to score all the goals. So the last couple of seasons, he hasn't been, but Sam has so much confidence in him that he could, that he puts him at striker. Timing couldn't have been better because Hollis decides to make this tweak, and I told you guys a couple of days ago, he has been playing with such enthusiasm, and he's so quick to the ball now, and he's making decisions quickly, and he's very vocal. He's a leader out there. He's wearing the captain's badge sometimes also, right? And it wasn't the fact that I told you guys that he scored like 6 goals the last 2 games, which is great, all right? But the fact that he has shown this grit that we have talked about over the course of the last couple of weeks that I've been preaching to my sons so much, that grit really makes up for, in some cases, a lack of talent, man. I'll be honest with you. I have never been the most talented person in the room when I played sports, radio, but I could tell you that I wasn't going to get outworked, and I was going to take the crappy jobs, and I was going to grit my way to the top. And I've done a pretty good job on that.
That's the Will Smith quote we've played time and time again on this show. He's like, I've never aspired to be the most talented person in the room. I've just aspired to be the hardest working person in the room. And that is what trumps everything.
The fact that he was so into his own head and figured out a way how to get out of it and continue to play and advance by himself really showed me a lot of grit. And it doesn't have anything to do with soccer. That's the kind of stuff that's going to take him through life right there.
And then you walk in trying to give him the yips by saying, hey, maybe you should play in college.
Yeah, but another story. But I'm also proud of him there because he turned me down. He's like, yeah, don't do that to me.
Yeah.
I know where I know where I'm going. I'm having a good time now. So that's a you thing. That's not a me thing. So as he's playing and I'm watching him score his second goal the other night, I start tearing up underneath my sunglasses. Oh. And again, it's not because of the goals. It's just because I'm seeing him play with such enthusiasm that I tell all of the parents that I'm sitting around that are congratulating me, giving me a high five. Your son scored a goal. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go down to the goal over there, and I really want to catch the next one on video just in case he gets one, so I'm going to leave. So I get up, and I walk over to the other goal, but it had nothing to do with video. I was starting to well up, and I was almost starting to cry.
Proud papa.
Yeah, proud moment.
And then I had another one also the other day with my son Hayden as well, who I've told you guys was going through a really, really, really tough time. His very first breakup ever. He's 23 years old. And that first one hurts so bad, man. I mean, so bad.
That first cut is deep.
Isn't it terrible, man?
It's really deep, man.
And you remember the very first breakup, a lot of us had it much, much younger. So we've had that experience of waking up in the morning where you just have that grief in your heart and you carry it around all day long. And it's the only thing that you can think about, right? And that happens for weeks. And then before you realize it, like, okay, I didn't think about her for 1 minute today, right? And then 1 minute turns into 2 minutes with time, and then 3 minutes, and then before you know it, after 6 months or whatever, you're not thinking about her and you're over it. Well, this breakup happened to him right in the middle of finals.
Ugh,
man. Damn.
Like the worst timing, you know, because you got to be focused for that thing. So I was talking him through it. The dude told me that he didn't want to get up in the morning. It took everything out of him to study for finals, everything. He said he woke up in the morning, just felt like he was in quicksand, but he did it. He got up in the morning, he studied, he went to classes, and he crushed all of them. And not only that, but that week to distract himself, he's like, you know what? There's this audition for a student film. Do I really have the strength right now to make an audition reel? Because he needed a specific one. He didn't have anybody available to help him out. So he really had to take a lot of effort, emotional effort and physical effort, to do this audition during this very tough week that was also finals week. And he did that, and he got the part. He got the leading part, right? Which, again, was to me a great example of grit, which I've been preaching to them both for just so long. So it's not necessarily the outcome. Like, even if he didn't get the role, or even if he didn't crush his finals, maybe he got a B, maybe he got a C, I still would have been very, very proud of them for at least giving everything that they could. So I didn't cry to his face, but I'm just feeling so much pride this week in my kids just for getting up and trying when they weren't feeling it.
I think we should do tomorrow, brag on your kid. Okay. So other parents can gush on the accomplishments of their children like you just did, because you can tell, like, you're beyond proud.
I really am, because I think that, you know, we talk about this all the time, that we are living in a society now, especially with our parents, because our parents were such hard butts, right? That we are taking it to such a level of comfort for our kids that I see it all the time with 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds, that once things get a little bit hard, man, they collapse. And I'm just like, that's the time right there to dig in. I mean, don't do this toxic compartmentalizing where you're not acknowledging the thing that you're going through, because eventually it's going to haunt you. But put your head down for a couple hours if you have to. Get the job done and then lay in bed.
I still remember going through that first breakup and having to really pull myself through it. And I remember my dad being the same, like being proud of that moment. And I think for him, it was like a relief to know, like, that's going to carry him through his later years. Like, he's going to remember back to that. And if I can get through that, then I can get through this. And he probably, I think he felt like I was going to be all right in that moment. So I still remember that time.
Yeah, maybe that's a really good point. That maybe that's the sense of pride also, because you're constantly worrying about your kids as they get older, right? Are they going to make it? Are they going to be okay? And then this week, with both of those examples, there was some peace that, you know what? These kids are going to be okay. Stacey and I have done a decent job. These guys are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I'm feeling this week also. It's a really good point.
It's a beautiful moment. I did a lot for my dad. I'm sure I did a lot for you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we told you guys this thing was going to sell out. City Winery, we've only got like 30 tickets left. Kristen, you want to tell them about it?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a Burt show live. So, yeah, you're going to be able to hear us and actually see us on stage at City Winery. So this is all going down July 24th, 7 p.m., City Winery. If you go to theburtshow.com, you can snag your tickets before they sell out.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I would say, parents, let's unite. Misery loves company, but I have a sneaking suspicion that this is a mom thing more than it is a dad thing. So mothers, let us unite in our misery. That is the bitter, bittersweet moment. Your child turns a year older. My Jimmy Jam turns 4 on Saturday. Doesn't even seem remotely humanly possible that my little human is turning 4. But I have caught myself, not just this past week, not just this past 2 weeks, but the minute we stepped into March, I have been going back in my phone. I have been watching old videos and old, like looking at old photos of when he was a teeny tiny little baby. I'm not kidding you. I have made my I have made myself cry on more than one occasion, reminiscing on when he was little, gearing up for his 4th birthday. So 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. This is basically an Am I Normal parent edition. Am I normal for looking at old videos and photos of my child leading up to their birthday? Pretty much intentionally making myself sad.
I think this is pretty common. I don't know about doing it with the intent of crying, but I think it's pretty natural. First of all, your phone won't let you not reminisce as the day approaches.
On this day. Yeah.
And nobody asked you, bro.
Yeah, right. It just starts flashing all these up. But I think it's very natural, like with every birthday where you go and you look at what they look like that right before, for sure.
Oh, man. I've just like, it's been incessant. Just looking at these old videos. Like I found this old video of when he walked for the first time and Bart and I in his nursery, which now his big boy room, and him just stumbling towards me. And I'm like, how? When you're 4, now you have skid marks in your underwear. Like, when did this happen?
I learned it from you, Mom.
Have you done this every birthday or is this the first time?
Every birthday, dude.
Every single
birthday I do this. And like, yes, the cliche is so true. The days are long, the years are short, and you just look back and it's like, do I want to go back there? I would like to go back there for a day. Like I would like to experience those little cuddles and those moments. Like, oh my God, we were sitting in the playroom on the floor and he was learning how to use this toy for the first time and that big old gummy smile with no teeth in it. And I'm just like, oh, where did that precious little nugget go? And now I look at him and I couldn't be more proud. It's just, it is. It's like this weird, bittersweet feeling that I never anticipated. Like, no, this is not something that's like in the parent handbook, because there isn't one that you get to let you know, oh, by the way, every year your child gets older, you're happy, but you're also insanely sad that they're leaving that chapter behind. And you will purposely go out and seek out photos and videos of said child to make yourself just so incredibly sad.
So what are you going to miss about year 3?
What am I going to miss about year three? That's a great question. I think I'm not going to miss the potty training. That was a freaking nightmare. I know that. I can say that like out the bat.
How about the temper tantrums?
No.
The meltdowns when there's a leaf going down the street and, yeah. And he hates it.
We did deal with terrible twos, but we definitely had a three-nager on our hand. I don't think it's anything specific, Abby, about the age. It's just knowing that the threes are behind us and now... Like, he's going to be obsessed with the number four. Mm-hmm. So at night, I read him one book. I sing him three songs. He gets three cuddles, and then he goes to bed. So they get hyper fixated on certain things. And so it's just knowing. That's why we got him three fish for Christmas, you know? So
That 13, 14 years, they're going to be fucking.
Well, based on what's happening in that fish tank, they're not going to make the 13.
No, absolutely not. So it's little stuff like that. And it's so crazy how at this age, they change so much in such a short period of time. So, it's just so crazy that he's going to be four.
Rainey, good morning. Are you as psycho as Kristen, or is this normal?
Oh, yeah. No, my daughter's turning in 11 months today, so yeah. She'll be one Easter Saturday. So, the Easter Bunny will be at her birthday party.
Score.
And I am just been crying because she can walk now, and she's a really fast crawler, and I remember when she was my sack of potatoes that couldn't lift her head. And I'm just like, I don't want you to keep learning. Especially when she started walking, I was just like, should I push you down? Like, I don't know.
I could just get like a hip checker real quick.
Here's Megan that went through the exact same thing just yesterday. Hey, Megan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I do this all the time. I was just doing this yesterday with my daughter. She will be 8 this year. I also have a son. He'll be 5. And it's just amazing because we have all these memories on Facebook and our phones from when they were babies. And so we get to show them, like, hey, this is you when you were a baby. And it does get very emotional because they're very different now.
Yes.
Than when they were babies, you know.
Yeah, thank you for calling. And here's Mary to tell you that this isn't going away anytime soon. Hey, Mary, thanks for taking time out of your day and calling.
Hi. I love you guys. Listen to you every morning.
Thank
you. Love you, too.
I was just telling Rebecca that my son's birthday is on the 22nd as well, and he's turning 16, and now this is my third one. And for him, it's my hardest because I think I know when he goes to college, we're getting ready for college visits. So I know when I'm going to be an empty nester. So for me, this is a really hard one for me. My daughter is actually at SCAD with Hayden.
Oh, is that right?
She graduates this year with him. But so to see him getting ready to go to college and everything, look, I've been this whole year stepping into 2025. It's been a hard, but.
I can hear the wobble in your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yes. Mary, I'm over here crying for you.
It is. It's especially, you know, like my older two are my two daughters, and then he's my little, like he is.
He's your baby
he's
boy.
Something else. He's done. Yeah, he's my baby boy, and just to know in 2 years he's going to be going to college and stuff, which that's what I've raised him to do, but it's exciting and it's sad all at the same time.
Exactly. It doesn't make it easy.
And she's telling you it's not going away anytime soon at all.
I'm glad to know that here in 12 years I'm going to be doing the exact same thing when my son turns 16.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
When I saw this story going viral, I immediately rolled my eyes because sometimes I just don't understand people's hyperfixation with hating on certain celebrities. And I feel like Hailey Bieber is one of those celebrities that just gets the brunt of it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. There were so many people that couldn't really get over the fact that Selena Gomez and Justin had broken up. And, you know, she's walking down the Met Gala red carpet. And people are yelling, you know, Selena at her. And I just feel like she gets a lot of hate for no reason until I saw this 7-part series drop on TikTok. that may have identified some concerning behavior that she potentially, allegedly, maybe stalked Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez before they got together.
See, what I hate about these things is who knows if it's true at all. But if you watch Seven Parts, you really start to buy into it. And your opinion might have changed about this celebrity based on absolutely nothing.
It's like a conspiracy theory. I mean, everything, when you exclude certain facts or the truth or somebody's actual lived experience, it can make something seem totally factual when in fact it's not.
All right. So I do know of her meeting Bieber when she was younger because her dad got her at a concert, got to meet him, and they have like this adorable picture of the two of them together, you know, before like plastic surgery and stuff. So this adorable picture of the two of them together. And I've never thought twice about that because she was a celebrity's kid. You know what I mean? So, of course, he's going to have access to Bieber because he was a big deal at the time. But what are the six other parts that make it seem like she stalked him out to make him her husband and baby daddy?
Oh, there's other footage that's come out of like Justin Bieber and Selena on a date at a movie theater. And like you see Hailey Bieber in the background, like on the same. Yeah, you'll see her there. Or people have compared certain captions that she has on Instagram. And it's like almost identical to Selena Gomez, or she'll be asked a question in an interview and it sounds almost identical to something Selena Gomez has said, you know, 6 months before. I think there was even one that was compared from the interview that y'all did with Bieber, where Bieber was brought up and he like said something and then like it flashes to like Hailey and she had said something very, very similar. So there's all these things that people have dug up that it makes her, even if it's not true, this seven-part series makes her look like some kind of mastermind that has girl-bossed her way into an arranged marriage with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I guess I'm feeling like a pushback on this emotionally for a couple of reasons. Justin's been in here since he's 15. But also that, what kind of loser has that much time?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I mean,
the internet is full of them.
There's a lot of losers in this world.
Oh, I know. I see them almost daily, but like to go ahead and manipulate all the pictures and video because you have nothing else going on in your life, so you're gonna try to change the perception of a celebrity you don't even know. What a loser.
The people who check the follow list of celebrities every day to see who has unfollowed who most recently, like that's like a second job.
Well, I think there's software, I think there's AI that people use for that, but to your point, it is kind of like,
but what? Checking that every day,
it's a lot.
That's the irony in it, is you have to become a stalker to know that she was stalking. So yeah. you're stalking her to get the information.
Yes, that's a great point. Right?
The stalking's coming from inside the house.
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> So basically, allegedly, she is consulting an attorney named Lisa Moore, who was known for securing a $4 million defamation judgment for Cardi B. Apparently, Hailey Bieber is going to Lisa Moore to go after some of these people who are making commentary on social media, saying all these things about her. And there could be a potential court case trying to get all this stuff taken down, because if you're Hailey Bieber and you're like, I literally did none of this, you're just manipulating it to make me look like I've done it. You have all the money in the world to make that stuff go away. So we'll see if that ends up becoming the next big court case and if it overshadows the It Ends With Us ones between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. A clip I really want to play because it's so out there and wacky is this clip from an American Idol contestant who quickly became a not contestant after her performance. So it's this girl named Sophie Powers, who is one of the newest contestants on this show, where, you know, in the beginning where they stand in front of the three judges and they're in that room and it says American Idol behind it and they're just trying to make it to Hollywood. Well, Sophie Powers decided to really catch the judges' attention by performing an original and explicit song that we have bleeped out, called STFU.
I had a pet lizard named George. He was cool, but he made me really bored. So I gave him to my mom, and she loves him very much because animals are better than people. They try to cancel me. Bother me. Stop bothering me. I don't even like my job. Karens, shut the up. Vegans, shut the up. Babies, shut the up. Everyone needs to shut the up. Laundry, shut the up. War, shut the up. Dinosaurs, shut the up. Everyone needs to shut the up. Traffic, shut the up. People, shut the up. Groceries, shut the up. Everyone needs to shut the up.
What?
I don't hate it.
I'm not mad at the hook. The hook got me a little bit.
At no point did I know where this song was going to go.
I'm just like, waiting. Why are we hate? What did dinosaurs do?
What haven't they done, Kristen? That's the real question. I'm just waiting for someone to remix it because that could be the bop of the summer. Mm. All right, Tiana Taylor is trying to send Iman Shumpert to jail for 20 days, all because of something he did before their divorce even went to court. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.